We rehearse Jesus' way of the cross, performing his last hours, because this is the master story that reveals God's love for us. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God's human image on earth, who takes the form of a servant, becomes obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, as Paul puts it today in Philippians. This is the story Triune God writes. Rome is not in charge of these events. The religious leaders are not in charge, because God is in charge. Just as God is in charge at the Big Bang, at the first creation billions of years ago, so too God is in charge at the birth of the new creation Friday afternoon in Palestine 2,000 years ago. Triune God is in charge, drawing us back into that place in God's heart where we all belong. Jesus, as I often say, does not come to change God's mind about you and me or about the world, but to set our mind and hearts free so that we can change our mind about God. So when the Son is in the bosom of the Father and the Spirit, we will also want and can be there. So you'll remember back a couple months ago, we read the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his disciples, his apprentices, how to live as if we are already in the communion with the source of all. As if God's kingdom had already come on earth as in heaven, Jesus would tell us how to live. And those were the early days of success of his kingdom of God movement. And he says, remember, do not resist the evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. If anyone wants to sue and take your coat, give your cloak as well. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Children sitting on the lap of our Father in heaven. Today in Matthew's Passion, we get to see Jesus not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. So just remember, now in the Garden of Gethsemane, he refuses to resist his attackers, and he tells the disciple to put the sword away. Now the soldiers hit him, and he doesn't strike back. Now the soldiers strip him naked so they can mock him in a royal robe. Now the soldiers make him carry a crossbeam to go that extra mile, a crossbeam he will die on. Now he shows his love for us, that while we are killing him, he is dying for us. Jesus walks the walk because we could not. We're so attached, aren't we, to our stories of comfort and success. We think we can heal ourselves and make sense of our lives as if the God who makes and loves and keeps us is not real, or certainly not necessary for our happiness. But we could not walk in covenant faithfulness. We could not reflect the light of God back out into the world, because we're too much of the darkness. We are the people we complain about, the ones who won't sit up straight and fly right. So Jesus now walks the walk as the human image of the Son of God. Jesus walks the walk because we are not capable of walking it. I know it's really trivial what I'm getting ready to say, but it popped in my mind, so I'm going to say it. Remember pep rallies back in high school before the football games, Friday afternoon, and the cheerleaders would start this chant. You can let me know whether they did this up here. But they would start naming the stars of the football team. They'd say, David, David, he's our man. If he can't do it, Peter can. And Peter, Peter, he's our man. If he can't do it, Paul can. God the Son comes to us as Jesus to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He lives out our human vocation to reflect the light of God into the dark world. And he takes into himself the violence of sin and evil, the evil powers, in order to set us free. And you remember in John's Gospel at the Last Supper, he says, "In the world you will face persecution, but take courage. I have overcome the world." The cross, to everyone watching, looks like the defeat of Jesus. But it is, in fact, the victory of God. First of all, in this victory, it reveals to us our own human sin. It's there for all to see. Now, every time we lynch and torture and murder, we cannot unsee Jesus on the cross. We can turn our backs, we can slip into an unconscious rage, we can pretend that we are God and allowed to do such things, but we can't unsee Jesus on the cross. And so, like the angry men, you remember in this story of the woman taken in adultery, ready to stone her, when Jesus says, "Let the one without sin throw the first stone," and it says, they began dropping their stones and walking away, beginning with the oldest. We can't help but see that it is our sin that holds Jesus on the cross. But even deeper than this, this victory reveals who our God is and the love God has for you and for me. So now we also can't unsee the sacrifice of God. We can run from that love. We can never escape that love. That image of Jesus on the cross, God with us and for us, pursues us down every escape route we would take. And this God is revealed not as an almighty God who uses violence to defeat Rome and religion and all the rest. No, this is the all-vulnerable God who, like a grain of wheat, falls into the earth and dies to produce a rich harvest of the union of all things. And this has been God's intention from the foundation of the world. So now that great curtain in the temple that separates the holiness of the temple from the Holy of Holies, where supposedly the glory of God rests and the high priest would enter once a year, that curtain is ripped from top to bottom because God is no longer in God's temple, because the whole cosmos is God's temple. Now, every person you meet, including the one you see in the mirror, is God's temple. Every place is shot through with the glory of God, no matter how ugly it may look on the outside, no matter how poor and broken that person may look on the outside. No longer do we need to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, because the all-vulnerable God has come into our hearts and into our homes and into our heads. And Jesus doesn't live or die, as you know, for one tribe, for a Jewish tribe or a Christian tribe or a white tribe or an American tribe. No, he lives and dies for the human tribe, that we all may be one as he and the Father are one. That's what we celebrate here when we come for communion. We are one with each other. We are the body of Christ. We are on the Father's lap, that place of security and love and peace and forgiveness with each other. So as we enter into this Holy Week, we're encouraged to let go all those stories that run beneath the surface of our lives, the stories we inherited from our parents and our teachers and our nation, that are driving us into anxious striving and relentless dis-ease. And to let ourselves be embraced by the arms of the crucified, who eternally brings us back into the heart of Triune God. Amen.